Amen. And I figured since y'all were going to be here, I needed to preach all six. And is everybody all right? And I mean, if more people would have shown up, I would have probably only preached three. But since y'all are here, I need to preach all six. And so anyhow, I'm just kidding. It ain't that bad. It is six. There is 6 points on this thing, though. All right. And they don't worry. There's not a whole lot of sub points. Let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 11, 14 subpoints, 20 altogether. So, I mean, we're getting there, right? Right? And so, I mean, I think it's all right. Are you okay with it, Brother Kenny? He's okay with it. Brother Kenny said he ain't got nowhere to be, so we're good, all right? All right, Psalm chapter number 40. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you know this psalm, say amen. All right, that's okay. All right, so Psalm chapter number 40. I'm going to read the first five, I'll read the first five verses. I'll just read them five. Although the whole chapter is good. How many of y'all know the whole chapter is good, right? And, y'all want me to read it all just reading the Bible is a good thing, all right? It says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy prophets which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee if I would declare and speak of them. They are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me. I delight to do thy will. Oh, let me read that one again. I ain't going to preach on that, but it's just a good one, right? I delight to do thy will. Oh, my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Withhold not thou thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. For innumerable evils have compassed me about. Mine iniquities have taken hold upon me, so that I am not able to look up. They are more than the hairs of mine head. How many of y'all feel that way sometimes, right? He's talking about his sins here. Is everybody all right? He says, they are more than the hairs of mine head. Therefore, my heart faileth me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be ashamed and confounded together that seek after my soul to destroy it. Let them be driven backward and put to shame that wish me evil. Let them be desolate for a reward of their shame that say unto me, aha, aha. That'd be like the equivalent. I'm helping some of the younger. It's the equivalent of LOL. And no, I'm kidding. All right. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let such as love thy salvation say continually, the Lord be magnified. But I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. Amen. We're going to look at the first five verses, although after reading it all, I think we probably just need to just stick around the back half of that. But I want to look at the first five verses. This is a messianic psalm, which means that this psalm is in close proximity to a prophecy of the Messiah. And so when David writes this, he's writing it out of something that he is going through, but at the same time, it is prophecy. Matter of fact, this very psalm is quoted in the book of Hebrews, I believe chapter number 6. And so the writer of Hebrews, whomever you may believe that to be, the writer of Hebrews quotes this very psalm in regards to Jesus. And so it is a what we call a messianic psalm, which means it is a psalm that is about the Messiah, a prophecy of the Messiah. Psalm 23 is the same way. Psalm 22 is the same way. Psalm 21 is the same way. I believe there's several. There's a lot. Psalm 39, I think, is also a psalm that is also a prophecy. God used David in his songwriting to prophesy of the coming Messiah. But here, David is going through something very difficult in his life, all right? There's no doubt about this. David says in the beginning of this chapter, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. Now, I want you to look at the next verse. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. Whatever David was going through, this very wording, the horrible pit, was a very tumultuous pit. Is the same word and the same meaning and mindset for my Sunday school class when we were talking about Euroclydon and what that was, that storm was. This is the same meaning towards that, and that pit, whatever David was in, was very violent. It was very, tossed him to and fro. But that wasn't the end of the pit. Although it was a horrible pit, and although it tossed him to and fro, the next phrase says, out of the miry clay. This literally means that as David, this has a meaning of quicksand. How many of you have ever had the thought of that? All right. I grew up scared to death of quicksand. I don't even know where you would even find quicksand. We'd run around in the woods and somebody say, watch out for quicksand. We'd be like, you know, I need somebody to help me. You think that you go running through the woods and then boom, you're just gone. You're dead. All right. I mean, I didn't know, but this quicksand has this thought of when you're struggling and it only seems to be getting worse. The more you struggle, the deeper you sink. The more you struggle, the farther down you go. And so understand that when David is writing this, he is in a bad place. Now, we don't know where or what this was in relation to. Many say that it was him with his son Absalom. And when Absalom tried to overthrow or did overthrow David. And so many say that it was a accumulation of this event, but we don't know that. All we do know was that David was the king at the time of this writing. All right. Now I want you to listen to me because this I think will help us. David was the king at this time of writing, and he was going through something that he could not get himself out of. Okay, I feel, and I'm going to just be honest, I feel like 2020 has been quicksand. And, you know, for most people, I mean, I think that you can relate in some way or some form. It seems like the minute we start to gain ground, we lose it. 2 weeks ago, 2 Sundays ago, out of caution, we suspended Sunday school, said we're not going to do Sunday school, we weren't going to do choir. That was nothing more than to protect our church and to just make sure that we were safe. And yet, that morning, you've seen the effects of it, and our numbers decreased in half. It was just one Sunday, and then the next Sunday, it was even worse than that. And it was like, we had gone through, y'all, is everybody all right? Can I just be honest? We've worked hard to try to build things back from this pandemic that hit that we really ain't been affected by. We've been very fortunate. March hit and we didn't have anybody in our church that had to go through that. But yet we went right into a rebuilding and we've struggled to get back on track and we're getting back on track. And then all of a sudden it seemed like here we go again. And when I say I appreciate y'all being here, y'all really don't know how much I mean that. Because it's difficult to walk into a church that you put everything into and see that people don't care enough to even come. And they're, well, I'm staying home and trying to be safe, but you're going to work. You're going to the stores. You're going to the restaurants. You're going to competitions. You're going to ball games. You're going to everything but the church and then trying to convince me that you're godly in all of it and that you're trying to protect yourself. We've got leaders in our church that can't be here on a Wednesday night, but they can go out and do whatever they want to on a Wednesday night. They can go out and eat. They can go out to a party. They can go out and do all these things, but they can't be in their place Wednesday night. And when I struggle, what I struggle with and what I fight with is that I'm fighting and I'm struggling to try to build this church and to try to reach our community. And I feel like every time I turn around, I'm getting deeper and deeper. The thing about quicksand is you got to have somebody to help you out. But when you're in it by yourself, like David was, I think we can learn some things from this tonight, and I hope we can. I got six things, and I'll preach them fast if you'll let me. They're real simple, and you could put this outline together, but I noticed his pit. I've already talked a great deal about his pit, so I'm not gonna preach on it very long. But I noticed the desperation. I hope I painted the picture for you. The desperation that he was in. We don't know the exact nature of his pit. We do not know the exact nature of what he was going through. But what we do know is that it was a horrible pit. It was a tumultuous. It was, the Bible even has a definition on that as a noisy place. In other words, it was loud. It was boisterous. It was scary. Kind of like the storms on the Sea of Galilee when the Bible says that the wind was boisterous and Peter took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. How many of y'all remember that? I think that David could relate. And here he was in this horrible pit. And I can say this, that your pit may not be the same as David's. We don't know what David's is, and thank God we don't know, because if we knew what David's pit was, then we might try to just minimize, or we might just try to put it in the box and say this only applies to this situation. But since we don't know what David was in, may I offer just a few examples of what David or what we might be in. Maybe there's somebody that's struggling to pay their bills. And it seems like the more you do, the more bills come. I need somebody to help me because I know there's somebody in here that is trying to pay their bills, and yet it seems like more bills come. I've learned that the Affordable Care Act is anything but affordable. All right? I don't say that politically. I say that out of firsthand knowledge. I know what we used to pay for insurance and the type of treatment that we got, the type of coverage that we have, and now we are on Obamacare. Me, the whole staff is on Obamacare. We pay more money and get less benefits, and we go to the doctor and still have to pay something. And how many of you know this? When you got insurance and you're paying all that money for insurance, you ain't expecting a bill from the doctor to come in. And when the bill from the doctor comes in and you ain't a plan for it, how many of you know this? Sometimes it sets you back. And many things, and before you know it, bills can pile up and accumulate, and here we are, overwhelmed because we're struggling to pay and we can't. Seems like it's getting worse and worse. Maybe it's just exhaustion from work. Maybe you're trying to put in the extra hours, and maybe it's just getting more and more. You feel like there's more and more struggle. I need somebody to help me. Maybe it's exhaustion of a single parent. Maybe they're not single. Maybe they're not divorced. Maybe they're just the ones that's having to get the kids together. Maybe they're the ones that's having to take care of the kids during the day. Listen to the kids whine. Listen to the kids cry for this and cry for that and feel like you don't ever get a break. I need somebody, and somebody needs to say amen. This is where you think, I can start over. Just kill them all off and start new. Things start coming to your mind that shouldn't be there. Callie, put your glasses back on. Don't look down at the floor. How about this? How about the relentless attacks of an ex? I mean, we can't get away from it. We can't hide from it. 45% of America has been divorced. And why is it that the same love that they vowed to one another on the altar, I'll love you forever, it turns into hate? I'll hate you forever. I'm going to make your life miserable. And we feel like we're struggling and trying to make it work. And we're just getting deeper and deeper. Maybe it's unending attacks of an enemy. Somebody's come against you. Somebody said something against you. It's starting to change the way people perceive you. Maybe it's illness. Maybe the struggle of an illness and the treatment, the stress. Maybe it's just an overwhelming schedule. I got to be here, and I'm supposed to be here, and I'm supposed to be here, and I'm supposed to be here. Maybe it's this reoccurring pandemic. It seems to, every time we seem to get traction and start getting back going, we knock back a few steps. Maybe it's just fear of the unknown. A lot of people are being led by fear. Whatever the pit is, I want you to notice David was in desperation. He was in despair. He was hope. That word despair literally means hopeless. He could not do anything to fix his problem. I need somebody to hear me right here. There's problems that you and I face that you and I cannot fix. I have people ask me this all the time because they've heard me say it, but I believe that God will give you more than you can handle. I do. I believe that we take that verse out of context. That verse literally means that there was not a temptation that he's not giving us a way of an escape from. But it doesn't mean that there's not a burden that you can't carry. Because I'm going to tell you something. Until you've buried a child, until you've buried a baby, until you've buried a loved one, until you've gone through some difficult times, you don't know what it's like to carry a real burden. And when you go through something like that, and let me just go ahead and say this, without the Lord's help, you won't carry that burden. I believe God gives us a burden that we can't carry so that we have to lean on him. If we could handle all of our burdens, we wouldn't need him. Right? Is everybody with me? David was hopeless. He was in despair. He said, I'm in a miry pit. He says, I'm in a horrible pit. And he says, everything, I'm struggling and I'm just getting worse and worse and worse. Maybe that's your pit tonight. Maybe whatever it is that you're going through, you're struggling and you're trying. You're doing the best you can, but it seems like you're losing ground. You're losing ground. You're losing ground. Let me encourage you tonight. David was in a pit, but he didn't stay there. Amen. I noticed not only his pit, but I noticed his plea. Now, we don't know a whole lot about what David said to the Lord, but what we do know is that David cried out to the Lord. We know that David cried out to the Lord because he says he inclined unto me and heard my cry. We don't know what his prayer was, but we know whatever his prayer was. Is everybody with me? His plea here, its audience was the Lord. I'm going to say that again for those in the back. Its audience was the Lord. Our problem for most of us is that our audience is a coworker. Our audience is a spouse. Our audience is a friend. Our audience is somebody that we come in contact with and that we vent to. Maybe our audience is on social media and we like to post our drama there, but his audience was the Lord. He took his problem to the only one that could help him out of his pit. And the problem with most of us is that we're not interested in getting help out of our pit. We're interested in getting pity in our pit. I didn't plan to say that, but I did. Somebody better write that down, all right? We don't want We don't want deliverance from our pit. We want pity in our pit. And so instead of going to the one that can help us out of our pit, we go to the one that we think is going to feel sorry for us in our pit. All right? And so we got to get the right audience. So we see his plea, it had the right audience. But then I notice the attentiveness of his plea. The Bible says that he inclined unto me. That has the meaning of this. God bowed down so that he could hear a whisper. I liked it. I liked it because what that means is that God brought heaven down to David's situation. He inclined. He bent low so that he could hear the faintest whisper from his child. And can I say this? When you're in a hopeless situation and the ground is going out from under you, oftentimes that is when we feel the most isolated from God. We feel like God has abandoned us. Come on, I need somebody. Y'all got to help me right here. That is when we feel like God has abandoned us and left us. Let me say this too. Just because God doesn't do it on our timing. When God does it on our timing, then everything's good. God is good. But when God doesn't do it on our timing, then where were you, God? And we open the door to the accuser who will make sure that he lets us know that if God really loved you, he'd take care of that problem before it got this bad. And so we open up the door. But we notice his plea, its audience was the Lord and its attentiveness. God heard his cry. I notice number three, his patience. Not only did David cry out to the right one, but David had patience in waiting. Now this showed David's trust in the Lord. It says, I waited patiently. That word waited means waited in waiting. It's him saying it twice. I waited in waiting. In other words, he waited very diligently, trusting that God would deliver him. Now, how many of us, we don't do this, don't raise your hand right here, but how many of us would raise our hand and say, I trust the Lord, but then allow the circumstances around us to keep us from exercising that trust? I don't know of a Christian that wouldn't say, I trust the Lord, but I can tell you of many Christians that their lives are an example of people that do not trust the Lord. Y'all gotta help me. That is good. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm gonna have to start dressing up like T.D. Jakes, Michelle. I'm gonna shave my head and get the Joe Osteen look. I'm gonna do something. I gotta do something. I say too many inspirational things that nobody even they don't. And then I don't remember them because it wasn't me, it was the Holy Ghost, and I forget them, and I just, y'all don't write nothing down. But anyhow, David, he waited patiently. I was thinking about this, and you don't wait on the Lord if you don't trust him. You don't wait on him if you don't trust him. I like the song. She sang that song. I want her to sing that song. The song that Dalton and them, I will trust you, Lord. I mean, we have been all around this tonight. But it's when you're in that horrible pit that your faith is tested the most. Because the more you struggle, the deeper you get. I need somebody to hear me. And it isn't until you cry out on the Lord and trust him. David's patience here. His patience. We see it was diligent. We see it was dependent. He trusted God. I'm the world's worst. I'm not a patient person at all. Amen. Amen. Me, I am not. Brother Mark, you've heard me say it. I told the Lord, I don't need patience at all, God. I don't need it. I'm good with making mistakes and having to fix them. I don't want to have to deal with patience. So I won't ever pray for patience. All right. I'll pray for you to have patience, but I'll never pray for me to have it at all. But David waited patiently for the Lord. He was able to do so because David trusted the Lord. And tonight, if you're not able to wait, then it might be a problem with your trust. We see his pit. We see his plea. We see his patience. We see his plucking. Yeah, that was a good one, wasn't it? His plucking. Because God didn't leave him in that pit. Verse number 2 said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. So I see a salvation. Now, many people, and I've heard this thing preached 100 times, or this passage of scripture preached 100 times and used as a salvation message. But David was very much saved. He wouldn't have waited patiently on the Lord if he wasn't saved. I need somebody to help me right here. So David was a saved individual. And so when we're looking at this, we're not looking at a lost individual and this being a salvation. But what I want to say is this. I do want to say that God is still in the saving business even after you get saved. And this is what David says. He brought me up also out of that pit. As bad as that pit was, David said that God delivered him from that. And God will deliver you from your pit. Now, let me hit this with a disclaimer. It might not be the way you want to be delivered, but God will deliver you from your pit. I'm thinking of Psalm 34. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying sometimes the pit ain't because you sin. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of a few of them, out of some of them, out of a couple of them, out of one of them. No, out of them all, out of them all. All right. So the Lord will deliver you. I see a salvation, but then I see, check this out. And he set my feet upon a rock. Now, what a contrast. We have gone, Miss Ellen, from a horrible pit to where we struggle and we keep sinking down and down and down and down. And God delivers us out of that pit and he sets us on a rock. In other words, this same rock that God said you can build a foundation on throughout scripture, he sets them on a rock. That rock is solid. That rock is firm. It's a foundation that is secure, and it literally breeds security. David was out of a hopeless situation onto a solid rock. And can I say that, and I touched on this just a minute ago, but in the miry pit, it seems like the struggle is worse and worse. And it seems, remember I said this, it seems like it's those times where you're all alone, right? You're in solitude. God's nowhere to be found. But when you're on a rock and you have a sure footing, then the presence of the Lord is felt the most. Come on, y'all. I mean, God not only saved him, but God, he stabilized him. When he put his feet on a rock, David all of a sudden could feel the presence of the Lord. It changed his whole attitude. We went from hopelessness to a new song, which is number 5, his praise. The Bible says, and he hath put a new song in my mouth. I wonder if that new song wasn't Psalm chapter number 40. A new song God had put in his mouth. Why? Because God had delivered him out of a hopeless situation and set him on a solid rock. He went from not knowing if the presence of God was in the pit to knowing that God was with him because God was holding him up. And so his praise, we see a new song, we see a new chapter, but we see the same God. In verse number 5, it says, many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works, which thou hast done. David said, hey, I got a new song, He said, but I ain't forgot about all the old songs I've got. I need somebody to help me right there. I'm thankful for these things that God gives us. I'm thankful for a horrible pit. I'll be honest with you, I don't like them no more than you do, but I do like to be delivered from them, and I like to have my feet set on a solid rock. I like to have my ways and my goings established and secure. Man, it puts a new song in my heart. How many of you, God's delivered you from something, and man, it's like a shock to the heart. All of a sudden, man, you ready to go. You ready to be shot out of a cannon. Don't tell me it ain't true, because I tell you how it happens in the church. Brother Robbie, God took care of me. Even if you'll let me, I just need about 2 hours to testify to the church. It won't take long. I'll just go over my whole life story, because that's why everybody gathered together today, so that they could hear me talk about myself. Oh, no, and I'll say that God delivered me. Everybody all right? David said, I got a new song. And the song that he sang, he said, even praise unto our God. And he said this, and I'm done. I told y'all 6 points and we're about to be done. Is everybody right? Is everybody okay? Y'all ought to thank me for this. His pit, we see his plea. We see his patience. We see his plucking. We see his praise. But then we see his provoking. The Bible says in verse number 3, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed, that's happy. That's what that means. Happy is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. David is saying that because of what he went through, many are going to see it and are going to trust the Lord. Because, is everybody all right? What did you, help me with that song, Caitlin. It's, and through it all, it says, if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know my God could solve them. How many examples in this church are there of folks that have gone through a difficult situation, been delivered from that difficult situation, and inspired you that you can make it through yours? How many has God used? She's coming to the piano. How many people has God used in your life that the testimony of them and what they've gone through and how they've recovered from it has inspired you to trust the Lord? If he can do it for them, he'll do it for me. I won't lie to you. I wanted to preach this tonight because I feel like I'm in a horrible pit. I do. I don't need your pity, and I'm not telling you that for your pity. I'm waiting patiently for the Lord. Not much patient, but I'm waiting patiently for the Lord. I feel like every time I try to do something, we're set back. I feel like every time we try to move forward, it's 2 steps back. And I'm saying this because I needed to hear it. I've cried out to the Lord. My plea is that God will deliver us. Doing my best to be patient when everything in me wants to speak my mind. I have to remind the staff over and over again, let's watch how we handle situations and what we say. Because some people are living in fear. And I don't want to hurt anybody. But I put my heart into our church. I try. And I feel like a lot of times, I feel like lately, that the struggle is all mine. Even from leadership. We're not excited about church like we used to be. It breaks my heart. a time with this church. You wouldn't come into this church. Logan, you know this. Logan, a first-time visitor, got saved. Don't know why she stuck around. Somebody broke into her car, stole everything. No, she didn't stick around because of you. Trent says she stuck around because of me. That's a lie. Her first time in service, she got saved. And while she was getting saved, somebody busted the window out of her car and stole money from her. What a blessing. What'd you do? I went down to Calvary Baptist Church and got robbed. But God saved. There was a time, man, we wouldn't have a church service without somebody getting saved. And it seems like in 2020 there ain't been 10 people saved. There was a time when we was excited and we'd tell anybody and everybody to listen about the Lord. Now, all we worried about is how late the preacher's going to be. Are they going to sing the song that I want them to sing? Got people coming to me, why ain't we doing this anymore? Why? We in a pandemic. Why ain't we doing Sunday night? I can't get y'all here on Wednesday night and on Sunday morning. Hey, and some of you that come, you sleep the whole time I'm preaching. Want me to come do it again? Struggling. Not saying it out of pity. Please don't blow up my phone. Just saying. I feel like David feels. I'm sure my pit ain't near as bad as his. But I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm trusting the Lord. Our staff, I try to tell them every week, keep your heads up. God's going to bring us through. I ain't going to be worried about it. I ain't going to be crying about it. But the fact of the matter is that preacher walks home with it, gets up in the morning with it, goes to bed at night with it. It all goes back to a trust issue. We say we trust the Lord, Brother Kenny. Act as though we don't. We say we trust the Lord, but we act as though we don't. Tonight, may we all need to gather around the altar. And maybe we ought to cry out to the Lord and incline our ear to Him. Incline our ear to Him. And wait on Him. Trust in Him. Whatever your situation, whatever your pit is tonight. God's brought you through so much. David, in verse number 5, went back to the wondrous works of the Lord. That God had done, I think we can all testify God's done some great things. And all that God has done for us, He'll not fail us. He'll not fail us. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you tonight, Lord, humbly. Lord, there's situations around the altar, there's situations on this platform of hopelessness. God, we can't help ourselves. Lord, unless you step in, God, you're our only hope. So, Lord, we ask you, Lord, to cry out to you, asking you, Lord, to hear our cries and deliver us from our pits. Lord, I pray for the men and the women that are around these altars that are in their seats praying. that are struggling and just seem to be losing ground. One step forward, two to three steps back. Sinking, but struggling. Lord, those that want to be here and aren't able to, that are at home and are struggling, battling depression, feeling as though they've been abandoned. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you would comfort those that are at home, those that are around these altars, those that are in their seats. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us. Lord, I pray the example of David may be an inspiration to us. Lord, that you delivered him, you'll deliver us. God, I pray, Lord, that we would trust you. Wait patiently, Lord, on your deliverance. Knowing, God, that you're for us. And knowing that if you be for us, Lord, there's no one or anything that can be against us. God, I pray, Lord, that you would Lord, remove us from our pit and set our feet upon a solid rock. Establish our going. Lord, put a new song in our mouths. A song of praise unto you. God, thank you for the psalmist. Thank you for the message. God, I pray that we take it, apply it to our lives. Lord, leave out of here trusting, Lord, that you are who you say you are, and that you'll do what you said you'll do. We love you tonight, Lord, and thank you for your wondrous works in our lives, in the past and in the present. God, thanking you in advance, Lord, of what you're going to do in the future. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray.